This mic been moved, Roger? Is this at the normal height it was? Yeah, feels awkward. It's like I'm looking down a runway. Okay, now, are there people still out there? The room is emptying, and this is the most important part. I could. I can whistle. That I can do. I got to do it here. I know I did that one time in a mic, and it didn't go over very well. All right, y'all. Katie Parker, alcoholic. Oh, my gosh. This is what I wish we could just talk 10 and 11 all weekend, if you want to know the truth. They are the most misunderstood steps. And when I say that, I'm saying out of my own experience. So if it sounds like I'm saying to you, you've misunderstood it, and thank God I'm here to straighten you out, that's not at all where we're going. I misunderstood it. As a matter of fact, a lot of the transparency, I've always lived my life with transparency. My transparency is not designed for you to judge me. It's for you to understand that the more transparent you are, the better off you're going to be. I mean, we live a life pretending. That's just what alcoholics do, pretending like everything's great, and you're dying in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew that wasn't going to take long. That thing is like having a pantyhose on. So what we're going to do here, and just so you know time-wise, because wowza, we're in a crunch, I'm going to go for 1 hour, possibly 45 minutes, and then we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we're going to do another 45. Yesterday, Charlie and I got off what we normally do because it's our first one back, and you guys were tired. It was a bad time of day, yada, yada, yada. I don't want to do that this morning. This is too important of stuff. So just be prepared. We'll take two more breaks, and hopefully we'll get this all in before we all have to skedaddle. And I do have a question. I was raised Catholic. I have, you know, the religion is an absolutely beautiful religion. My grandmother met the Pope personally. And, you know, we had our rosaries on our little doily on our head and all this stuff. But is every female holding a baby, is that always Mary and Jesus? Anybody Catholic? I'm kind of in the home of Catholic. Is that all the women and the small children is Mary and Jesus? Usually. Ah, I was wrong. Just trying to prove to Charlie I knew something about my religion. I said, no, Charlie, not all of those are Mary and Jesus. Oh, he hears plenty of that. Don't you think this guy is a cakewalk to be with? He is. I'm crazy about him. I love him. And it takes an hour and a half to tell you something. And this is me. So Charlie and I are the yin and the yang. And the only thing when we took that test that was different is that his nickname is Pokey. Now, how do you think that fits into my agenda? You know? So I swear to God, we take two cars where we go. My sponsor has worked out beautiful stuff for us because, you know, people are like, did y'all come in two different cars? Like, yeah. And they're like, why? And you just want to look at them and go, exactly. You want to look at them and go, you got some time? Sit down. I'll tell you why. You do the same darn thing. And we found it so much better. It sounded so stupid. But oh, yeah, in the shooting community, everyone knows us in the shooting community because that's what alcoholics do, right? You're like, look at me! And we cannot shoot together. Not only can we not shoot together, he has to be about five stations down. I can't even hear him, right? Now, I won't give you all the backstory why that is, but was that on the list? And was it effective? And did I do anything to deserve any of that? No. See, there's a whole piece of the story. There's no but. That's the whole piece of the story that you don't ever get to hear. Otherwise, it sounds like I'm over here cracking a whip on him. And you need to straighten that up. That's not, we don't have one today. But that's what I'm saying is, you know, when that happens, that stuff's got to come out. And I'm not interested. I'm over here doing tons of inventory on it so that I don't just stay in resentment. Because Charlie is Charlie, period. I'm not going to get him to hurry. I'm not going to get him to see that I don't want him anywhere within 10 feet of me when I'm shooting. He ruined it for me. He's like a dad. And I just feel deeply judged that he's back there going, oh, Jesus. There she goes again. Have you ever gone out with your dad fishing and all he did is yell at you? Remember, I left home at 15 because my dad and I fought. Have you met my father? There he is. One time we got in such a big fight, I looked at him and I said, Charlie, I told you, that parental tone makes me nuts. I left home at 15. Work on not using it. Because I'm trying over here the best I can. And I'm going to crack. And if we're in a car together, it's not pretty. Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to get off on too many stories. On my inventory, I wrote that my dad called me bucket mouth. Now, he called me a lot of things, but that one really bugged me. I'm driving Charlie's Hummer, I think she was 89 at the time. Mother's sitting to my right, and Charlie's in the back. That rarely happens. I don't even know why I was driving it. We don't do that. He drives. And all of a sudden, I am saying something so stupid to his mother, like she's my girlfriend, about one of the nephews. It's none of my business to say. And I'm just blah, 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 blah. And Charlie goes, well, bucket mouth. Oh. I almost just drove in the ditch. I had envisioned myself just driving in the ditch and just wrecking and going, how do you like that? Call me bucket mouth. But now I got to tell you something. He needed to shut me down. It was ridiculous what I was saying. But it would have all been, if had I not done the inventory, it would have all been around him saying bucket mouth, right? Okay, I got to cook. Okay, so here we go. There's going to be a little bit of reading, and I have to read because it is just the way it is. The 10th step is a spiritual, they're all spiritual principles, but the 10th step is all about watching your thinking. Not your actions. But the only way to get to watch your thinking is you have to see your actions first, and then you start to mature. Did everybody follow that? Very important part of this. So don't think you're going to be able to watch your thinking and just start doing it and doing great and whatever. You've got to watch your actions, and then you start to watch your thinking. It's the same thing like Mary Beth and I were talking about. She was a marathon runner. You don't just go out and run 26 miles. You can't. You have to go add 3, and then you got to add 5, and then you got to add 8, and then you do 12, and then you go back down to 3 and go to 12. So you have to understand you're training yourself for a habit here. And in training yourself for a habit, the laws all come into play, and I'm going to put this on tape. Emmett Fox brought me closer to God than anything ever. And he has got a huge influence on the Big Book, huge. And it was so progressive back then in the 30s. Remember, religion was strict and tough and a lot of power. And all of a sudden they come in saying that it's all in the thinking mind. And they're like, get him out of here, right? So we got to keep in mind when the book was written and what it's about. So Emmett Fox is always talking about the thinking mind. So in Around the Year with Emmett Fox, which is his daily reader, I believe it's January 23rd through the 29th, and it lists all the spiritual laws that he works with. Now, there's many spiritual laws, and it's in all religions, all everything. As a man thinketh, we reap what we sow, self-fulfilling prophecy, water seeks its own level, so within as without, right? This is all up here. Now, I'm not telling you go out in the world and be positive. Have you seen that guy at AA? You say something negative and they go, oh, watch that. You got to be. I just have a feeling that that guy is just, I wouldn't have drank with him. Okay, I can't. It looks phony baloney to me. When you try to, if I'm going to come at you upset, do not give me the promise. Go, wow, it sounds like you're pissed. Oh, I am. So tell me, what went down? You know, walk me through column 2, column 3, column 4. You can do it in 10 minutes with somebody. But don't throw the promise at me. I'm done talking to you. You know what I mean? Would you rather be right or happy? We're done. And that's what we do in AA. And if I can help when no one else can, I damn sure better bring what I'm bringing. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, in a meeting, I'll tap somebody on the shoulder in a heartbeat and say, wow, it sounds like you are really struggling, especially in an open discussion meeting. They go, I am. I just can't break up with this guy. I go, let's go outside. You got about 15 minutes? And we'll just go right through an inventory. And I'm not saying it fixes them, but it darn sure was the lifeboat they got to get in. God sends thousands of lifeboats. This is one of the things, I have all of Emmett's books. He just speaks strongly to me. And Jesus Calling is another book that speaks strongly to me because it's the two-way prayer. And I always tell people, if you got a problem with Jesus, just jump over Jesus. Just jump over the word. Move on. That's what we agnostics is trying to get you. Just read on and read some of that stuff. You don't have to touch the scripture. If that bothers you, by all means, don't touch it. But don't ignore the book because of the title. And it says, you all know the great law. Well, that's a pretty big assumption, isn't it? How many people think they know the great law? Raise your hand. Yeah. He's like, you all know the great law. No, I don't. Now, I know what's illegal. That kind of law. It says, one way of stating it is that like produces like. Good produces good. Evil follows evil. Interesting. And what we sow in our thoughts is what we reap in our experience. That's why Bill's always talking root and branch, right? And so it's cause and effect. If I'm scared to death, I'm not going to make money. Guess what? You're not going to make money because you're going to make everything in your world happen to make that fear come true. That's what we do. Now, the root of our problem is not fear. Please do not lose sight of that. That's very, very important. I always like to say our pride is out to kill us, right? And this is just a reading. My pride's trying. Pride tries to protect me. My name is Pride. I am a cheater. I cheat you out of your God-given destiny because you demand your own way. I cheat you out of contentment because you deserve better than this. I cheat you out of knowledge because you already know it all. I cheat you out of holiness because you refuse to admit when you're wrong. I cheat you out of genuine friendship because nobody's going to know the real you. I cheat you out of love because real romance demands sacrifice. My name is Pride. I am a cheater. You may think I am always looking out for you. Oh, untrue. I'm looking out to make a fool of you. And see, that's our problem, right? Thought life, God conscious. Thought life, that's ego. 90% of the time, it's ego. But if you're watching it, it's like watching a kid. You know, when they start to learn to walk, oh, somebody please take this child for a while till they can walk and wipe their butt. Can you do those two things for me? That's a lot of work. And the truth of the matter is once they start walking, are you a nervous wreck? They're going down, grab them, you know. And we're just watching. It's just watching. If I told you to go outside and see how many white cars are out there, do that. Just watch traffic. See how many white cars there are. There's almost 8 times more white cars than there are other color cars. But you never noticed it because you didn't have the discipline to look for it. This is what the 10th step's waking us up to. The 10th step is deeply misunderstood in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've certainly misunderstood it. And let's be very clear, I wasn't doing it anyway. So one of the things about the 10th step is the 10th step taken off the wall looks like damage control. But if you're in an AA meeting, people think the 10th step is the evening review. Somebody just sent me a thing on the 10th step, you know, some AA member wrote it, and it's the frickin' 11th step. And so I sent a thing back to him, and I was trying to be as kind as I could. I said, hey, well, wow, this is a, yeah, I know you touch a lot of people with the stuff you send out, but this is incorrect. We don't need to correct it in an AA meeting, right? You can do something like this. You know, I used to think that, I myself used to think the 10th step was the evening review. And I had somebody point it out, and it's over here on this page, and it says down at the bottom of the page, the 11th step. And at the top of the next page, it says, when we retire at night. Who would have known? You see how much better that is instead of when Danny did it in our meeting. He goes, well, I'm glad we're talking about the 10th step. That's not the evening review, you know, and... Of course, those boys can get away with that sometimes. But so that's what I'm trying to get you to see. There's a huge difference between the two. And if you use that app, I'm not a fan of that app. I'm not a fan of any app that takes me away from pen to paper. And the 11th step evening review is not designed to send to your sponsor. You leave the whole God piece out. It's between you and God. Because it says there in there, have I left something out that should have been shared with another person? So you see, if you're not careful, there's little traps that you can get in. So first of all, it's damage control, as most of us use it that way, but then it's misunderstood as the evening review. Problems are a part of life. They're inescapable. Woven into our very fabric of our world, we tend to go into problem-solving mode all too readily. Just try to relate to this. Action as if we have the capacity to fix everything. This is a habitual response, so automatic that it bypasses our conscious thinking, right? That driven. You hear that? Oh, I can do it. I can take care of it. You need that committee? I'm on it. You know, no consideration, just driven. Not only does this habit frustrate us, it also distances us from God. Do not let fixing things be your top priority. We are ever so limited in our capacity to correct all that is wrong in the world around us. And today, there's a lot. Do not fool yourself. Personally, I think you should turn off the news. That's what I tell my sponsees. And if Facebook bugs you, get rid of it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do FaceTime just because you have it. Okay, just saying. Don't weigh yourself down with the responsibilities that are not your own. Instead, make our own relationship with God our primary concern. Talk with God about whatever is on your mind. Seek his perspective on the situation. Rather than trying to fix everything that comes to our attention, ask God to show you what is truly important. Remember that we are en route to freedom, and let our problems fade into the light of the universe. I'm telling you guys, you'd be shocked at how difficult this discipline is. It's not easy at all. 10 and 11 are not easy steps. And what happens is you'll start doing them, and you'll do it for 8, 9, 10 days. And guess what? You feel great. And darn it, you know, I just don't have time this morning. And then the next day you don't have time. And then before you know it, you're not doing it at all. And maybe you're throwing a spot check in there and doing this and that. And you will do that. I say it's like trying to get out of sand. You know, I grew up on the beach, so you guys know what that's like. It's tough. You roll back, you roll forward, you roll back. You'll do that for a while before you pick this discipline up. It's the nature of it. Okay? So don't beat yourself up. The 10th step, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. You take that step, like I said, off the wall, it's damage control. You're going through life asleep, and I could say I, but I just don't do that well. I go through life asleep. If that's hitting your ego, I'm sorry. But you go through life asleep, and you step on somebody's toes and piss them off. Happened in the last 3 days to anybody? Yeah, doesn't take much, right? So you step on their toes, you piss them off, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, you rerun through your mind what went down. You go and make the amends. I personally do not like any amends made by saying, I owe you an amend, or that I can't stand that word. To me, it's like, who talks like that? I need to come make an amends. I'm like, oh, well, let's turn the music down. Please bring it. I like to come and say, hey, man, I'd like to talk to you about what went down. I have got some deep regret for having hurt you, and it's very important that you have give me a minute. You know, you can do all kinds of things. I've just realized that I have damaged you, whatever. But amend, I just think it sounds too technical. My own opinion. I got a lot of them. I'm going to get angry or afraid. I don't have the freedom to stay angry or afraid. Remember, guys, even that justifiable anger is forgiveness. And you will not find that many on inventories. Don't fool yourself. The sexual abuse, the abandonment, where, you know, they left you unattended for a long period of time, abandonment. You know, when somebody writes on their inventory, they have abandonment issues. I'm like, oh, let's reword all of that, okay? Because the truth of the matter is we all have that. That's way too broad of a statement. Give me the specifics, because then we can really get down to causes and conditions. The book implies trouble. Page 25, blotting out our intolerable situation the best we can, accept spiritual help. Page 53, crushed by a self-imposed crisis. Does that open you up to self? A self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade. Either God's everything or he's nothing. These are our two options. Page 133, the deliberate manufacture of misery. God didn't do it, but when trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize on it so he can show his omnipotence. So the next time you're in a hurry and you go out to your car and you got a flat tire, you just, woohoo, today's going to be a good day. I mean, that is not what we're going to do, right? I mean, these things come at you. And one of the things is they both suck. That's why it's called a dilemma. See, I'd rather blot out my intolerable situation. I'm kind of good at that. Except God's telling you, yeah, not really. And so that's why we have to look at all these things. The book is constantly, constantly repeating over and over and over. It says the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And the word theory means speculation. It'd be like, say you know somebody who's always talking about losing weight. Do you know anybody like that? Always talking about losing weight. And it's always theory. I'm going to get to the gym, and I'm going to eat good, and I'm going to. And I'm like, well, I'm going to the gym right now. You want to go with me? Oh, right now? Mm-hmm. See, when all you do is talk about it, but you don't take the action, then it's theory. And I really see people fall into the trap with sponsorship, I'm telling you. Sponsorship is so seductive that you sponsor so many people, and the next thing you know, you're not doing your disciplines, or they're mechanical, and they're going to get mechanical. And when they get mechanical, you have to start asking God for different things. How can I mix this up? Once again, I use it as as an athlete. I don't go to the gym and do the exact same thing every day for the rest of my life. You have to mix it up. You got to confuse the muscle. You got to get this and do that and all that stuff. It says, we've entered the world of the spirit. Now, the first time I ever saw that, I thought, oh, I got no flipping idea what that means. You know, how do you know what you don't know is what Mark used to say. So the way I like to explain it is it begins very slowly, and you begin to move up and up and up, and then it's just something you just can't deny. You're just going, well, of course God did that. Well, of course that happened. Well, of course that person was sitting next to me. Entering the world of the spirit for me started with gossip and, I'm embarrassed to say this, lying. Okay, clearly I've proven I'm a liar. But gossip is, I can't do gossip. It feels deeply uncomfortable. There was a time I loved it. Lathered up, talk more about it. Oh, my God, you hear about Bobby? Oh, come on, bring it. Bring the heat. Almost to the point to where I could tell somebody's inventory. And in AA, that's not unusual. It's not hard to find us to be able to gossip. And when I've entered the realm of the spirit, it didn't feel good anymore. I didn't like it. Charlie and I realized we used to start up conversations at home with, you know who bugs the crap out of me? And one day I was like, wow, that's not really a good spiritual way to start a conversation. And I was the one starting it, okay? And so Charlie and I started looking at that. We were like, wow, how comfortable we got. Because I was calling it pillow talk, just a little pillow talk. Our next function, which means expected duty, is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. That is a profound line right there, because when I first woke up in untreated alcoholism, I was coming at you like a blowhorn. Hey, wrong, flag on the field, you, incorrect information, you, wrong. And I mean, my sponsees, I'm like, I gave you an assignment, you did not do the assignment, you know, this is a life or death situation, didn't you hear my husband died of a heroin overdose? At Wichita, Kansas is never having me back to speak. At one point, first of all, they were the walking dead. And I was like, listen, let me tell you people something. And when I finished, Charlie was like, oh, Katie, you got to tone it down a little. Oh, my God. And I would have never seen that had he not said it. So I called Bob Darrell, and we were all running together then. And I said, Bob, oh, my God, I'm miserable. I'm over here just beating people in the head. And all he said, so simple. He said, Katie, say the prayer of understanding and effectiveness. And I thought, that's it? You got nothing else? And nothing else. Okay. Well, you know, I grew up in AA where an AA member tells me to do something, I'm doing it. I hope you have that same kind of foundation. You do not lie in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, period. Now, you dang sure don't come spill your guts in an open discussion meeting, but you take a person aside. I went and said that prayer, didn't really have a whole lot of boost and meaning to it, and it was the only defect of character that absolutely changed overnight. I couldn't even believe myself when I'm talking to people. I have so much compassion when I hear your story. It's not lost on me, and this was about 14, 15 years ago. It is not lost on me. So there's two people I cracked on, and it was really ugly. I couldn't believe it, and I got ugly because they had really pissed me off. And I don't sponsor them anymore, clearly, but That's it, two times, two people. And so it's really remarkable. Don't underestimate that. Continue to watch. These are the directions, clear-cut 10-step directions. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Now, selfishness, remember, is that I want everyone to do as I wish. If everyone would do as I wish, we tried to get, I was going to bring a coffee pot in here. I thought it was just a grand idea. Had no idea it was against the rules. Had I known that? You should know me well enough now. I would have just, right? Because that's what I do. And I got nailed walking out, and it was like I had a neon light, and the guy's like, oh, ma'am, you can't take that. And I thought, didn't know that rule, could have broke that rule, you know? But that's okay. I got walked back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. See, it would have felt much better not knowing. Did you see how many times I have to get up? I drink a lot of coffee. And I swear, when he was taking it, I was holding the handle. He's like. But I swear to God, I'm holding it out like this. I'm taking it out of here. If it's against the rules, take it now. Didn't know it was against the rules. So continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So the dishonesty is the three forms. Remember, straight out lying, not telling the whole truth, and believing the delusional lie. That's where you really need somebody's help, right, in getting to that. And then resentment and fear are very simple to be watching for. Now, here's the directions. When these crop up, so you're watching your thinking, not your actions, but you're going to start with your actions, right? You're going to see where you story stole. I hope that stays highly up here. It's epidemic proportions in Alcoholics Anonymous. If you want to get a story to another drunk, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Did you see you and Danny about the health issues? Danny said he had a health issue. Jimmy stole it. Danny stole it. Jimmy stole it. Danny stole it. And then the next thing you know, Jimmy's going to win because he's had 41 surgeries. And he goes, Danny goes, oh, forget it. I'm not going to even mention my gallbladder. And I thought, oh, my God, it was priceless. It was priceless to watch. Nobody asked a question about anything. Not like, oh, my God, you almost had a heart attack or you had a heart attack. It was like, well, let me tell you what happened to me. And oh, it's priceless. So here's your clear-cut directions when these crop up. We're working on your thinking. I'm going to leave you with an exercise to watch your thinking. Do nothing about it. Just watch it for the rest of the day. I don't want you to take any action. You have to start this process slowly. First thing we do is ask God at once, listen to the urgency, to remove them. At once, we'll talk about affirmative prayer. We discuss them with somebody immediately. Make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody comes at me and says, I can't make a call, I don't believe that. I believe everybody has a phone in their pocket and they can run to the bathroom. Now, it's not against the law to go to the bathroom at work. You don't have to call. I don't care if you text this one. If you are really like a school teacher, they have trouble. They have trouble going to the bathroom, right? That's a job I'll give you. But the rest of the stuff, we can do it. I prefer not to have a text 10th step. I don't like to do email 10 steps, text 10. I think you're missing huge pieces of work by not putting pen to paper or a phone call. Please, if you haven't done that, don't dismiss it because Mark used to say, I'm not interested in an opinion on an experience you haven't had. Do it. Have an experience, and if you don't dig it, so be it. We part as friends. So when we ask God at once to remove it, we have to affirm it. Thought life has to be replaced. So if I move my glasses from here to here, I don't have to put something in its place, right, on the material land. But when we are in the thought land, you have to take a thought out and replace a thought. That's just the law. So the law, it's called the law of substitution. So when you ask God to remove it, the way I do it is I tap the brakes. Remember, I'm very disciplined. So I tap the brakes by saying, I'm not willing to believe the delusional lie. I don't have to know what the delusional lie is. I just know that whatever's going on in my head is a big, fat lie. My kids aren't going to do well. Charlie's health is going to go down the toilet. You know the drill. Just the chatter of 1,000 monkeys up there. So I say, I'm not willing to believe the delusional lie. This is a 3 to 10 second redirect. It's the law of substitution. There are a few great laws that govern all things, just as there are a few fundamental laws in chemistry. We know that thought control is the key to destiny. Do we know that? I didn't. And in order to learn thought control, we have to know and understand these laws. One of the great mental laws is the law of substitution. This means that the only way to get rid of a certain thought is to substitute another one for it. I don't know why I believe him, but I believe him, and it works. You cannot dismiss a thought directly. You can do so only by substituting another one for it. When negative thoughts come to you, do not fight them. Once again, don't judge yourself, don't fight them. But think of something positive, preferably think of God. But if that's too difficult at the moment, turn your attention to something quite different, okay? Then you have the law of subconscious activity. These are the two laws that really are working heavily, I think, in the 10th step. Now, this is the one that will make your butt pucker, okay? So here we go. As soon as it's called the law of subconscious activity. As soon as the subconscious mind accepts any idea, it immediately begins trying to put it into effect. So here's the driven. We watch, somebody walks in, ex-boyfriend, who's that girl? Oh my God, I know who that is. That's my sister's best friend. Down the path, right? So it says, it uses all its resources, and these are far greater than commonly supposed. It uses every bit of knowledge that you've ever collected, most of which you have totally forgotten, to bring about its purpose. It mobilizes the many mental powers that you possess, most of which you never consciously use. It draws on the unlimited energy of the racing mind. It lines up all the laws of nature as they operate both inside and outside of you to get its way. Sometimes it succeeds in its purpose immediately. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes it takes long time. But if this is not utterly impossible, the subconscious will bring about it once it accepts the idea. That is our ego. Once the ego gets it, you're not moving off the mark that you know that's the truth. What that person said is the truth. No, you don't know that. Just because somebody said something does not mean it's the truth, right? And if it is the truth, I better prepare myself for that. So it says, this law is true. Here's the gift. This law is true for both good and bad ideas. This law, when used negatively, brings sickness, trouble, and failure. And when used positively, brings healing, freedom, and success. So I have a situation. I was afraid of somebody very close to me was going to get divorced. Scared the crap out of me badly. Just the conversation, hung up the phone. Now I got it. You with me on that? And every time, I literally was like a mosquito at my ear. God, I'm not willing to believe that delusional lie. These two are going to grow old together. They're going to have such a fabulous relationship. They just laugh and enjoy each other's company. Their finances are just beautiful. 3 to 10 seconds. Boom. That's it. Now, I'm going to call Marty eventually here and do a 10th step on it with her. Because you telling me I'm powerless over that, once again, makes me crazy. No kidding. I'm 37 years sober. I'm clear I'm powerless over it. Shut this thing up. Could you do that for me, please? Because this sucker never shuts up. Right? I'm in a group of people. I kind of expected a head nod or something there. Okay. So, when we're talking about this, you're going to have to ask God to remove it, so I'm going to replace it with the affirmative prayer. Talk to somebody immediately in hopes that we don't make, you know, self-seek and start to have to go back and make an amends, and then resolutely turn our thoughts to others. So I've kind of got the resolutely turn our thoughts to others in with that affirmative prayer. Now, I've had 2 sick husbands, and in having these sick husbands, I am a damn good advocate in a hospital. Now, I'm not the B word. When Joe was in the hospital, there were some B words happening because I didn't like the medical profession at the time. I'm much leaned up a lot on that. But I'm going to make damn sure that if I see that hose is not working right, I'm going to go get the person. And if they give me grief, then I'm going to go above their head or go to somebody else. I'm going to get it done because you need an advocate in the hospital. That's not. Doctors are not God. Charlie's mother. The doctor said, oh, well, there we go. Well, if he said that, there we have it. So Joe had brain injury, so Joe would let me go in there basically with a notepad. You know what I mean? And I was the one, the doctor would talk to me. And Joe could talk and all that. I mean, he could, I can't even think of the word, but he could get around. And He had back surgeries. He had hep C. I mean, we were in many doctor's offices, a lot. He was a very sick man towards the end of his life. And Charlie doesn't play that way at all. He goes into a doctor's office, and the next thing you know, he's like, hey, Mary, how's the kids? They playing ball? They play? Oh, cool. Very good. Cool. We go in, and I don't know about you guys, but in a doctor's office, it's tight. They got about 15 minutes, and we're moving. We're cooking. We got to get the information out. And she's sitting there typing, and Charlie's still talking away about her family and her husband and how is everybody. And because he's got, you know, he's had this one dysplasia away from throat cancer. So we go to get San Antonio. We got our favorite place to eat. We stop on the way back at the outlet mall. I mean, we have a whole dance we do every 3 months because you have to keep an eye on that so it doesn't go to cancer. Okay? We love the doc. Gotten to know him very, very well. And so most of the time, I think I'm pretty spiritually fit going down there. This is not the new drill. And so this time, though, I guess I'm not as spiritually fit as I thought I was. And so she says, Charlie, do you use nose spray very often? He goes, oh, no. He has it around the house like glasses. I mean, it's just, you can, at one time we were in the Las Vegas airport, he's on one knee and going, I'm like, oh, my God. One time we were doing a big book study. I tell this story every time, and he goes, does anybody have any nose spray? He's addicted to nose spray. And he goes, nah. And she goes, do you clear your throat much in the morning? Okay, there's the key. Oh, my God. Do you try to have a conversation with him? He's like, well, you know, sorry, and he goes, nah. And I am pissed. Now, like I said, it's early in the morning. We've driven, you know, an hour to get down there. And the next thing you know, I just stand up and I go, you are a big, fat liar. Everybody's left the room. And I am pissed. And he comes out of that chair like the Incredible Hulk and he goes, Katie! And I thought, I am out of here. And I'm grabbing my stuff, and I'm starting that painful cry where you're pissed, and you're, and I start to go out, and the doctor is a kind of a small guy. He comes walking in, he goes, whoa, you okay, Katie? I go, no, you know, and I go out into the waiting area, and I am holding the magazine up because I can't stop crying. I don't, something happened, some switch flipped, and I'm like, you know, and I can't see anyway, right? And I got no glasses. I can't see anything. And I think, oh, my God, I got to call Marty. Well, Marty's a high-end. You know, she's in high criminal court. You're not going to get a hold of her. I know that. They're in court. I know the court case. I know her judge. I've asked her judge, when I call, you can't call a little quick recess? Is that too much to ask? And her judge looked at me and she goes, we're not going to do that, Katie. Okay, fine. So I had to text her, but I'm not a fan of texting a 10th step. You with me on that? Here's the 10th step. I need a new toolkit for a sick husband. We're at the doctor and I just left the room. I can't stop crying. I must sit there and be submissive. I can't do that. He does not give them enough information. Now, if you listen to enough inventory, you just heard the old idea. That's how quickly you can pick up on the old idea. Do you know what it was? I have to sit there and be submissive. If you make me think I'm going to be submissive, I'll kill both of us. I'll just take you down. And then go, I'll go with you. You know what I mean? I mean, I can't do that. Submissive makes me crazy. Marty, she's always so sweet. Oh, honey. Because she knows I'm down there. Why? Because I told her. See, if you got something coming up in your life that's kind of a big deal, you need to be telling your keeping your sponsor in the loop. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. It must be so painful. She always kind of does this and then does this. Whap-bam! And I fall for it. Every time. The baby seal. You know. Oh, my God. She's now here she goes. I'm sure he's scared, maybe even terrified. None of this is about you. How can you be helpful? Are you in the doctor's office treating him like he knows nothing? Are you the doctor police? How are you coming off when you're giving information to the doctors? Are you smugly superior? I get out a yes. That was it. Yes. Stopped crying immediately. Cleared that. She's not done. Marty, stepping on his toes, are you? Well, if not you, who? all cloaked in a good motive. You have all the tools, hun. Just use them. I know that hospitals and doctors are traumatic stuff for you, and you go on super high alert. This is a new day. And the best part of that is Charlie came out. His appointment wasn't over. He came out, and he said, honey, please come back in there. Had I not done this, my pride, you're lucky I don't get an Uber home and charge you for the hour drive. You know what I mean? But the best part now, I come in, and doctor, oh my God, we love this doctor with all our heart. We've helped him quite a bit with his kids and all that. I won't say any names. And he says, I come in, he goes, you okay? It's like I got this heat wave coming off of me. Not taking anybody out. The Parkers have rolled in. Now remember, when I'm watching, I may have to redirect on any situation 25 times that day. I'm watching and turning, watching and turning, watching and turning, watching and turning. Mark one time in one of his CDs said, we're not supposed to take it back. And I wish he was here because I'd say, Mark, I understand what your purpose is, what you're saying. But this thing, I'm going to have to redirect some days 80 times. And when it's really bad, I may have to do that for 3 days. And that's after I've written inventory, because I'm in bondage of self, right? Love and tolerance of others is our code. That's a body of laws. And you cannot do that. That is a promise. You can act it, but you can't do it without the disciplines. It talks about that mirror code of morals, where people go, I'm just going to do the next right thing and do it kind. I'm like, well, that'll work right up till it doesn't work. I get your theory, and I'm not knocking you for it. We'd like you to do that, but don't fool yourself with the mirror code of morals or better philosophy. The book's warning us all the time that we have a mind that wants to kill us. And by the time we are almost at the bottom, the drink looks like the solution, not the problem. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. Think about that, money, weather, traffic. And then it's got the long dash that says even alcohol. That's the important part. Alcohol is a second thought, right? We feel as though we've been placed in this position of neutrality, safe and protected. Now, I wish, once again, if Mark were here, I'd say, Mark, I wish you would have said that position of neutrality does not always feel good. See, when I was learning to take the high road, I did a piece of inventory with Mike Lorenz. I love Mike Lorenz with all my heart. And he said, when Marty's not around, he's my 10th step buddy. And I had some beef. And he said, Katie, what would happen if you took the high road? And I went, I never have. I don't even know how to get there. Honest to God, it's always been an argument. We're going to argue. My family argued. That's what we did. Nobody said something, and I slapped my forehead and went, God, you're right. The loud mouth Ostermellers, right? And so I said, oh, my God, Mike, I wouldn't even know how to do that. He goes, but what's more interesting is why would you not take the high road when these arguments are just wearing you down? And I said, because if not me, who? Who's going to be the sheriff of the world? See, somebody, there is just mayhem in this world. And I need to be the one that straightens it out. So the next thing you know, because it rolls downhill, my sponsees are going to start taking the high road. I'm going to show them how to get there. And the next thing you know, the first three, didn't feel very good because I had a lot to say, but I took the high road anyway. And now I don't really even have good game to come back at you. I didn't see that happen, and I don't really like that. I kind of like having that game in my back pocket, but I lost a lot of that game. And the truth of the matter is God showed me time after time after time how someone else was going to take up the slack. It didn't have to be me. I got to keep cooking, so I can't share that story. We're just going to keep going. Which one? John? Oh, I have a sponsee that, oh my God, I swear to God, I thought she was going to kill me. She was so much work. And she knows that. Oh, she. When I first started with her, she's 27 years sober, she answered the phone like this. Hello, hey, oh, hi. I go, oh my God, is that how you answer the phone? I mean, can you see this like piece of electricity going through life? And she has had of all my sponsees, and God knows I got a lot of them, she has had the biggest spiritual awakening I have ever seen. It brings tears to my eyes. I delight in talking to her now. She is an incredible soldier in her area. And one of the things she said, she goes, well, I just wanted you to know that I took the high road with my husband. And while I was there, they were like, what the hell are you doing here? I told Charlie, I said, oh, my God, you've got to hear this story. Yeah. Well, you don't ever come up here. It says, we have ceased fighting anything and anyone. Oh, that's a tough promise, right? That money, weather, traffic, the whole thing. We're going down to, this is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Mark used that term all the time, fit spiritual condition. This level of discipline, you must tell yourself, either you are disciplined or you're not. There's no middle of the road in discipline. So if you're ex-military, you're darn sure disciplined, right? I'm disciplined. I'm an athlete. Athletes remain disciplined, right? That's something we do. Mothers, kind of disciplined, right? Some are, some aren't. But if you're a disciplined mother, the kids eat at the same time. You take that same practice into your disciplines and do it one day at a time, right? One day at a time. All we're trying to do is reduce your world down to this moment. I don't believe we stay sober one day at a time. I don't think that's at all what the book meant. We stay spiritually fit one day at a time. You start to reduce your world down to small, you can carry a vision of God's will into all your activities because you've reduced the whole thing down. It's unbelievable. Now remember, as an athlete, I don't always want to work out, but I do it anyway. Last night, 11 o'clock at night, I did a 20-minute workout before I went to bed. I fought it all day yesterday. And I thought, just God Almighty, by now you'd have been done. Just do it. And then before you know it, I'm like, feels great. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels, right? That's our past accomplishments. We're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. That means crafty. And that's, remember, that I'm the victim of the delusion that I can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I just manage well. See, I'm managing my ass off, and I'm pretty unhappy. What we've got is a daily reprieve, right? That's to grant temporary delay contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition, uninterrupted. And let me tell you guys, don't beat yourself up. You're going to start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Don't give up. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. That's a promise. You cannot do that without the disciplines. You can think it, you can act it, but on the inside you're like, oh boy, what an idiot. Okay, just keep moving. You know what I mean? That's going to be a part of it too. That's just the nature of it. Traffic, how are you in traffic? That should tell you right away how your spiritual fitness is. If you can't handle traffic, that's a big problem. Don't dismiss that one. Lines, me and my lines, right? I'm a cutter. AA members, how do you do in your meeting? People bug the crap out of you. Have you ever written inventory on that individual? Do, because they don't have the problem. Matter of fact, if I'm to carry a vision of God's will into all my activities, I better, you know, see what it is so badly about them because they're going to be my boss. They're going to be my neighbor. I mean, they may even be my son-in-law. That personality is what's bugging me. Ex-husbands, in-laws, if we have carefully followed direction, right? We have given clear-cut directions. We've begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we've become God-conscious. Thought-conscious, God-conscious. Never even saw the two ever put together. My thought life has to be lifted to a higher consciousness. It is amazing, and there's people in this room who know exactly what I'm talking about. We have begun to develop this vital, which means key of life, sixth sense. I did 17 years without it. 17 years without it. And let me tell you, I enjoyed those 17 years. I really did. I was running the show and, you know, doing whatever I needed to do, traveling around the world, speaking. I have no education, as you know. I'm not stupid. School was about social. I don't care about a dangling participle. I don't care where Venezuela is. I don't care about a civil war. I don't. I care about me. I just don't. So because of all of that, It's a very, very challenging situation. I can't remember where I was going with that. Vital sixth sense. Oh, well. had something really good there going. Oh, education, whatever. There was an ending, but I was just so in the moment of what school was like for me. I traveled the world. Okay, so I traveled the world speaking on marketing in my line of work with no education. Whatever would be after your name if you're talking in marketing. What would your degree be in? Marketing? Well, there you have it. See? There you go. So I did it for 18 years. And that's pretty unbelievable. See, because I know how to talk to people. I know how to make money. I can tell you. Well, yeah, and they were four-hour talks. One of the things that I think is so important too is it was so funny though. I do have time because I just realized that's my last page. When our company was a $100 million company, I didn't own the company. I worked for the company as a franchisee, and. My best friend's mother started the company, and they're dear friends of mine, the family. That's just how we alcoholics do, don't we? We just fall into some of the amazing people, and they just love us. And so she takes me to Australia. Well, remember, no education. I'm not kidding you. I read one book in school, and it was The Outsider. I cheated. That was it. It's the only one I read because it was about gangsters, and I thought that sounded kind of cool. And I don't have any, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird, whatever, and whatever. And so she knows, everybody knows I don't have an education, and as far as kind of knowing where we are. And I'm over there talking about the marketing thing, and I said, in Australia, I said, let's take, for example, when you guys celebrate Thanksgiving. And I go into this whole deal, and Shan's looking at me going, and I looked, and she goes, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Well, I don't know why. Okay. So then I go, it gets even better. So then I go to July 4th. And I mean, this is a huge room of people. And I thought, oh boy, they don't celebrate that one either? And so I said, and by this point now, she is sliding out of her chair. Oh, my God. And I said, well, do you guys celebrate Christmas? And Shannon was just like, oh, Jesus, we got trouble. And after it was all said and done, I couldn't figure out why they didn't celebrate those two. And then they explained it to me. And I went, gotcha. So do you guys have anything kind of like that? Do you have any sort of Independence Day? Were you whatever? I mean, it was just wild. But we're trying to get you out of a thought-react lifestyle, right? We're trying to get you in touch with this still, quiet voice. It's amazing what that still, quiet voice talked to us drunk or sober, trust me. And we're just trying to get it to where I actually have conversations with the Creator. And people are like, oh, I think that's you talking. Whatever. That's not me talking. It is clear direction. You do this, and the promise of what Bill's talking about will happen. Let's take a 10-minute break, okay? Oh, boy.